Blessings, beautiful souls in this world. You are now listening to the newest episode on Coolie Baby Express's podcast. Take heed, let God speak into your spirit, and enjoy.
Peace, love, light, wisdom, guidance, discernment, and blessings. Beautiful souls in this world, because you already know, you done know we are not of this world. Okay, blessings. Welcome to episode 12 of Coolie Baby Express's podcast. I'm so happy to be here. So glad to be here once again, yet on another episode. All praises to the Most High. Okay, and for those of you that are watching, right, the visuals, I want to bless up you as well. And you'll see that, we're switching up locations and all these things. I just love when God does new. I love when he, does newness in my ministry, which is really his ministry. I love when he, performs and spring forth that new that he told us. He told us he's doing a new thing, and he told us that he's springing forth the new, right? So I'm just blessed and amazed of all that he's doing, and I'm excited. So again, we're here on episode 12. Wow. God is just doing his thing. And although if you saw episode 10, you would know that we took a little break unintentionally of the episodes at episode 9, I think was the last one. Those of you that are just tuning in, if you listen back, you would know that my mom recently passed. And it's just been crazy since then. That's when the break happened. And, God was really revealing a lot more to me in the spirit. He was really revealing a lot more to me about his character. And so, it's been a while since I, got back on. But then, there's a time for everything underneath the sun. And there was a time for God to really show himself to me in a way that he never had before. It would be devastating in this natural realm with the experience of my mom ascending, right? And in the natural, in the flesh, we see it as tragic, devastating. I mean, although in our flesh, it really is. My mom was, my God, she was not just my mom to me. She was all I knew. She was a single mom for all my life that I've known. And she raised all of my siblings and I by herself. And she's done a wonderful job. Can't you see? But, he really chose to use that as another open door for me to see him and his true character. So I just want to thank God for that. I actually prayed before I did this episode, before I started and started rolling. So we're good to go. Okay. All right. And I just want to let you guys know, I actually have my Bible today. Ooh. So I actually got revelation on, reading your Bible, and it's kind of, it's a different revelation. And you know what? I'm not going to speak on that in this episode, but I will be uploading a video on my YouTube channel on that revelation. So hit the link, go to my YouTube channel and watch that video. Okay. Revelation on reading your actual Bible. And it's not what you may think it would be. So, everything is not what it seems. So although you're like, oh, reading my Bible, okay. Yeah, so I want you to actually dive into it and hear what God is saying. And he mentioned it through a dream as well. But anywho, let's jump right into this episode right here. So the topic of this episode, what Holy Spirit led, it is called There is a Major Shift Taking Place. Now, I want you to know that it is happening. It's happening, okay? As we know, Revelation does speak on the last days, right? And I know a lot of people is like, oh, well, we've been hearing about the last days. We've been hearing that we're living in the last days. Well, when is this last day going to come? I'm telling you, you want to prepare. The Bible also say prepare so that when the time comes, you're not trying to get ready, Okay, this is how you know we're living in the last days, because when you can look around in this natural realm and see what's transpiring, it aligns with the word. And in Revelation, God tells us, we're not really going to dive into Revelation today, but in Revelation, God tells us exactly what will be happening, the plagues that will be happening, the famine that will be happening, how mother and daughter will be against each other, and father and son will be against each other, and you know, all these things. And so you can look around you. It also says kingdom against kingdom. You will look around you and see that it's happening, okay? And although, you know, it's these things have been happening, but it's getting more intense, okay? And the people of God in the body of Christ, you know, can see that it's getting more and more intense. And the more the intensity rises is the more that we know, right? Those are our signs that we know that God is closer than we let on. He's closer than ever before, right? So I want to start with a scripture, okay? And we're going to be coming from Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 through 26, okay? So like I said today, y'all, I have my Bible. Woo, woo! I can't wait till y'all hear that revelation, because it's very important, right? So let's go. So we're starting at chapter 1, verse 22, and it reads, "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, establish and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that have been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." So I want to stop there. Okay, as we said, the topic of today's episode is there's a major shift taking place. So I want to go back to verse 23, right? "If you continue in your faith, establish and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel," right? All right, so let's pause right there. So we're talking about shift, right? Shift. So as we know, there's a shift happening. So let's dive deep into shift, right? So another word for shift would be what? Drift, right? Move away from, right? So in other words, you're departing from, right? So back to that verse, verse number 23, where it says, "If you continue in your faith, establish and firm, and do not move." So keyword, do not move. So let's substitute that move for shift. So if you continue in your faith, establish and firm, and do not drift from the hope held out in the gospel. So I want to really emphasize this word drift, okay? There's a major shift happening, okay? And we are not to drift. We are not to move away from. We are not to pull away from. We are not to depart from. What are we not to pull and drift and move away from? Christ and his word, okay? And I know it sounds a bit cliche, but let me tell you how beneficial, essential, and integral and imperative. And I can continue. I can tell you how important this word right here is, that we are not to drift. Okay. I am going to share. I've been following Christ all of my life, pretty much. Right. I grew up with, you know, my mom instilling the power and the love of God in me. My grandfather instilling the power and the love of God in me, right? And they were planting seeds ever since I was young. Now, when I became an adult, young adult, right? But still in the world, I was still loving God, right? I was still serving God. I was still believing in God. That was my faith, right? But I was still in the world, which means I was still drifting. I was still drifting away, right? God never left me, though. The Bible says, "I would never leave you nor forsake you." He never left me. He actually gave me a chance after chance. That's why the Bible says his mercies are new every single day. He kept giving me chance after chance after chance to utilize my free will to choose him day by day. Now, there was a time in my life when I was choosing the world day by day. I was choosing pleasure day by day. I was choosing satisfaction day by day. All because what? Flesh. This flesh, right? This flesh, if we allow our flesh to really drive us, we're going to go where we do not want to go. You understand? And then we're going to be seeing the fruit. And again, you have the fruit of the spirit that's fruitful, that's juicy, that's tasteful, right? And then you can have fruit from the enemy. The Bible says no bad tree can bear good fruit, and no good tree can bear bad fruit, right? So there's fruits on both sides. Right? But do you want that ripe, fruitful fruit from God, or do you want the spoiled, rotten fruit from the enemy? Okay? I can assure you that if you go shopping, many of us go shopping, and if you like me, okay, and I get to my fruits, my produce now, I don't just pick up the first one that's on the surface. I'm picking, I'm feeling, I'm squeezing, I'm looking through, I'm going all the way to the bottom. Okay, that's me. Even like stuff on the shelf, I'm like moving the stuff in the front, I'm picking from the back. But you know, like I'm like picking, I'm feeling, I'm looking, I'm feeling the texture. I'm really dissecting which fruit is ready. Right? And ripe and ready for me to take. Right? So it's the same concept. It's the same concept, right? So again, you don't want to drift away from God, especially with the major shift that is taking place. God is doing a lot of things right now in the atmosphere. He's doing a lot of things. And I spoke about this on a couple episodes before. God is doing a lot of things in the atmosphere, in this season, in this hour. When I say in this hour, I don't mean like the current hour that we live in. No, God, remember, God lives outside of time. We are blessed. We're living inside of time, right? So we're blessed to have time, but remember, time is very limited, okay? There's only 60 minutes in an hour. You understand? So you can't say, oh, let me extend the 60 minutes to, let's do 75 minutes for this hour. No, you cannot do that. So time is very limited, right? And this is why we need to stop putting the limits on God, because God is limitless. You understand? He lives outside of time where there's no limits at all. It's just eternity. It's infinity. You ever see the infinity sign where it just keeps going? There's no ending point? Yeah, because God is infinity. He lives outside of time. So there's no limit when it comes to God. And when it comes to his throne and his kingdom, there's no limit. That's why all the things that we do here on earth, that's why we're doing them here on earth. That's why there's no marriages in the kingdom, because there's no limit. Here on earth, you have marriages, and guess what? There's limits to marriages, right? That's why the Bible say you might want to be equally yoked, right? You might want to, you don't pass that limit, because if you do, then you will see bad fruit, okay? If you do, there won't be peace, there won't be happiness. And the Bible also say, I think it was Paul that told us that God calls us to peace. He calls us all to peace, okay? He wants us all to be peaceful. God is not a God that, okay, I want you to suffer. Yeah, you need to suffer. No, he's not intentionally wanting us to suffer. Now, a lot of the things that we do, right, our life is based upon the decisions and the choices that we make. Remember, we have free will. So we utilize our free will. And a lot of us like to blame God after we utilize our free will. And then the outcome happens, and it's like, oh, then we want to blame God. Well, why did he have this happen to me? It's funny because the other day, so as you know, Hurricane Ian came, tore up the place, went boats in business, right? So after Hurricane Ian, I was out of power for about 4 days, 3 to 4 days. And I mean, it was not the ideal situation that anyone wants to be in, you know? It was very dark in my community on my side of town. When it's nighttime, there was no street light, so it was literally dark, right? Very dark, let alone in the house. It was very dark, it was very cold, right? And because the weather was rainy and stuff, you know, in Florida, we're getting a little bit breezy now, right? It's getting a little bit under temperature, right? So it was very cold in the house. And then let me tell you how those cold showers was not it. Okay, those cold, let me tell you how I'm in the I had, like, you see how the Bible said be prepared so you don't have to get ready. I had to pre-prepare myself before getting in the shower, because in the shower, oh my god, and I have one of those showers where you take the head off, and before I'm like prepping myself, I'm like, okay, I get to. And so as I'm showering and it's so cold, I'm like, Jesus, I'm calling on Jesus the whole time. It was definitely something to experience. And at the same time, man, after, and it was, like I said, it was only like 3 to 4 days. And at the, and I say 4 days because it came on, but then it went back out. Like, there was a lot of trees, big trees that came out of his roots, fell over. And then as it was falling over, it, you know, took the power lines down. So that's why. But even in the midst, like, I was just filled with gratitude on a next level. Like, I was filled with gratitude. Like, I mean, even though this is not the situation that I would, like, love or aspire to be in, it just let me, like, it let me feel so much grateful for what I do have. And it's funny, I was talking to, this is just going off a little bit. I was talking to one of my clients. You know, as you know, I am a music instructor, so I do vocal, songwriting, all of that. If you hit the link, you will see, and you can book, and you can do what you want to do. But one of my music clients, we were talking, and I was telling her, we were talking about Hurricane Ian and the aftermath and everything. And she said something that really rang a bell and confirmed back to my gratitude on the next level. She said, I asked her how did her side of town take it or whatever. She said, well, actually, you know, we went out of power, but not really for long. And what she said was, she said, you know, we're just really spoiled. And I was like, wow. I was like, wow. Because in real life, we are spoiled. Spoiled. God spoils us, okay? Again, we have new mercies every day. We're spoiled. We are spoiled, right? And the thing about it is, remember that word spoil? After I was bringing it to God, I said, you know what, Father, I will not. Remember, there's power of life and death in the tongue. I told Father, I said, you know what, I will not speak that word over my life. Why? Because I don't want to be spoiled, number one. I am not spoiled. I am not rotten. We just talked about fruits. I don't want to be nothing dealing with spoiled or rotten. But in the sense and the concept that she meant it, we really are privileged, right? We're very, very, very much privileged when it comes to Christ. And we don't really see. It's just like, you know that saying where they say, you don't know what you have until it's gone. And in a lot of times, I don't know who made that saying up, but big up yourself, okay? Because it's truth, and it does correlate with the word. You don't know the true essence of what you hold in the grasp of your hands, right? What you hold or what you have right before your eyes, right in your atmosphere, in your environment, in your setting. You don't know what you have a lot of times until you take it for granted, and then you lose that thing, that person, that place. You lose it, and then only then you realize, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? You know? And so it just put my gratitude on a whole nother level. But I was mentioning Hurricane Ian to say this. I did a video just to share the experience, a little quick TikTok video I did just to share the experience. And there was one person that commented and pretty much said something along the lines of, what your loving and caring God should have done was stepped in instead of watching people lose their lives and lose their belongings and lose all these things. And so, you know, I had to pray, and I had to pray for that person. And I just said, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he's saying right now. And in my response to him, I pretty much told him that, you know, once you know the word of God, you won't be so surprised, you won't be so shocked, you won't even be quick to get angry when certain things happen, because you would know what the word says. You would know what God's word said. And then if you know God's character, okay, you would know that, number one, he is not a God that he shall lie. Why? Because he's not man. Man lies. God cannot lie. If God lies, then he would not be God, right? So you would know that, number one, character, that he cannot and will not lie, right? So number two, if he cannot and will not lie, that means his word has to stand, and it must stand, and it must come to pass. This is what a lot of people don't want to accept. People don't want to accept that God, whatever he says, has to go, right? People want, and that's where this justification of the word comes in. And brothers and sisters, we have to stop doing this. We have to stop trying to justify our ways, our wicked ways, because the Bible says repent and turn from your wicked ways. All of our ways are wicked. It doesn't matter what good deed or what you feel like you do good. The Bible tells us that our righteousness is still like a filthy rag to God. Okay, so let me tell you something. We need to repent, and we need to turn from all of our wicked ways. And I'm emphasizing the ways of justifying our bad habits, justifying our wrongdoings, justifying our wrong sayings, justifying our lies and our stealing and murdering. And when I say these things, I don't mean, for example, when I say you stole or murdered, maybe you really didn't murder somebody physically, right? But if you thought about it, Jesus tells us in the Bible, the law is that if you commit adultery, you have sinned. Jesus said, but I tell you, if you even think in your mind or look at a woman provocatively, you have already committed adultery. You didn't have to do it physically. So I come and I'm telling you today that maybe you didn't murder somebody physically, but having hatefulness in your heart and in your thoughts and thinking of doing something to them, even knowing that you probably won't do it, but just having the thought to satisfy your feeling, your emotion that you don't like them, your hateful emotion, and just having that thought, you have already committed murder. So let me tell you something. Your thoughts, take that and let it be equivalent to actions, okay? So whatever you think, you have already committed. And this is why me, in my walk with Christ right now, where I have grown and built up to, every single thought that I have, let me tell you how I am repenting literally all throughout the day. And then I have came to this point in my life where I'm repenting even when I'm like, I think about it when I lay down at night. I'm like, what did I do today that possibly could not have been pleasing to God and his kingdom? If I can't come up with something that I did today, then I would say, you know what, Father, I'm repenting. Lord, forgive me for everything that I thought, said, and done that I didn't even know, that was unknowing to me, that was unintentional and unknowing to me. We do think and say things all the time that we're not intentionally. You know how they say, oh, well, she means well, he means well. Yeah, you may mean well, but you may be doing something that you mean well, but doing it in the wrong way. And that's just simply in the eyes of God. I'm not saying in the eyes of me or in the eyes of man. Remember, we're not of this culture. We're of kingdom culture. So in the eyes of God, you may be meaning well, but the way you're going about a certain thing may not be right in the eyes of God. So we have to come to repentance every time, frequently, have to. Okay, so so the guy said that, and I just prayed for him, and then I just explained to him. I said, listen, if you don't know the word of God and the character of God, then you, these things won't shock you, and then you'll be able to know how to respond differently versus blaming God. Okay, there's a lot of people that has had the chance and the opportunity to show themselves approval and to show God. Do you know that? Yeah, my power went out, but guess what? I was protected. Hallelujah. God told me before to anoint my home, prior to the hurricane, prior to them even saying, oh, hurricane coming. God told me, and I didn't know why he was having me anoint my home at the time, but guess what? I didn't have to know. In my obedience, I said, okay, Lord, is that what you want me to do? Okay, let's do it. He told me to anoint every door, every window, every TV screen, every mirror. He told me to anoint my home and pray. Okay? So I didn't need to ask him. My obedience was my obedience. But if the thing about it is, once you be obedient to God, when these famine and plagues and all these things start coming to pass, God's chosen vessels will be covered, will be protected. We will be protected. And unless it comes to that time where he tells us, some of us will die behind the word of God. Some of us, a lot of us, okay, a lot, and you can see this. I'm not going to mention it because I don't want, you know, I don't want my video to be, you know, shadowed or anything, because they do that. This is the world we live in. They do that. They will shadow your video, your content, if you're speaking something of truth, especially if it's going against the world and the laws of the world. Okay. But with what you see now, with what's required to have in order to do this or in order to do that nowadays, right? A lot of people that serve God, I'm just comparing contrast right now. A lot of people that serve God, right, as the last days continue to unfold, the Bible say, the mark of the beast. If we don't take that mark, there's going to come a time where we're not going to be able to buy. We're not going to be able to sell. We're not going to be able to eat. We're not going to be able to do anything. And there's a lot of people that's currently in the body of Christ that's going to give in when that time comes. The Bible tells us there's a lot of people that's not going to hold, and they're going to what? Completely drift. And not even drift. They're just going to completely give God up and go to the other side. All because of what? Because they want to feed their flesh in this limited time. Okay? And so a lot of us, God did say that many of us, because we're so founded and firm and we're holding completely on and we're not drifting away from the word, right? We're not drifting away from Christ himself. When those time come and we still standing firm, no matter what they're telling us or trying to do to us or whatever, a lot of us are going to die behind, you know, the word of God. A lot of us, but God says our reward is waiting. Our reward is waiting. Our actual life is waiting on the end of that. Death is not the last. Death is actually the transition into that new life, that true life. Okay? So there's a major shift going on, and brings me back to the hurricane. God was shifting my spirit, y'all. God was really shifting my spirit. Prior to this hurricane, I was feeling really heavy, like the glory of God was on me. And let me explain something to you. When I say like the glory of God was on me, a lot of people might think, okay, well, if it was the glory of God, then you should feel really up full and everything. No, let me tell you how, Jesus, thank you, Lord. The glory of God is heavy, right? Because you cannot contain it. You understand? You cannot contain it. And it wasn't all of his glory, because if it was all of his glory, I wouldn't be here today, right? Our fleshly, natural bodies, minds cannot contain the fullness of God. You understand? So the small amount of his glory that he did place over me, so that I can feel in the spiritual realm the shift. He wanted me to feel the shift. When that first night of hurricane happened, y'all, I did not go to sleep till 7 a.m. And even after going to sleep, I have woke up maybe 2 hours later. I really didn't sleep during this timing. I really felt the shift. It was a huge shift, and the weight was heavy. It was very heavy. And all I felt led to do in my spirit is just pray. I couldn't do anything else but just pray. You understand? Like, I would be there, and like I said, I was up. It was pitch black dark. I was up, and my husband was knocked out. He was snoring, and I'm just up, and I'm just like, Lord, I just had to pray. I had to pray. And the wind was blowing, the rain was going. Oh, it was crazy. And then I went outside on the balcony where all that weather was happening outside, and I was just looking at the weather, at the darkness outside, and I was just praying to God, right? But there is a shift happening, okay? And I want us to prepare, okay? Prepare for this shift. How do you prepare for this shift? Say you're preparing dinner. What do you do to prepare for dinner? You go to the store, you make sure you get every single thing, you write a list, you take time to sit down and write a list, whether it's on paper or in your phone, you take that time to go to the store and get everything you need, you come back, you make sure you pull out the certain pots that you need to use, you make sure you pull out the certain ratio of measurements of seasonings and oil and water and all these things, right? You prepare to prepare that meal. Okay, so in the same way, we need to prepare for this shift. We don't know exactly in detail. And that's the thing, when you grow in Christ, I need you to start learning how to not expecting the details from God, okay? A lot of times, if not all of the time, God is not going to give you details of what he's telling of you, of what he's telling you to do. He'll give you the objective. He'll give you the bigger picture. The details of the how, sometimes he will, if he sees it fit and necessary. Oh yes, he will. Look at Moses. He told Moses to do what to do. He told him how to do. But also Moses, see, if you look at Moses, it goes hand in hand with what I'm saying. There were times where God told him in detail, this is what you're going to tell Pharaoh. This is, you're going to go here and you're going to do, like, he told him certain details. And then there were times where he didn't tell him anything until the moment came. For example, before God was telling him, yes, you're going to save the people and have Pharaoh let them go and tell him to let my people go and everything. At that time, God didn't tell him that you're going to use the sword you're going to use the rod and part the Red Sea. God didn't tell him that. Matter of fact, when Moses got to the Red Sea, Moses like, my God, how are we going to pass this, Lord Jesus? And then God spoke to him. That's the biggest action of God, y'all. A lot of people say, oh, God, bless me. A lot of people say his biggest action is to bless somebody, is to, you know, bless you with money or bless you. No, the biggest action of God, thank you, Holy Spirit. The biggest action of God is to speak. Why? Because there's power in every single word that he speaks, and we are in his image, which is why he told us that there's power in our tongue, and we can use it for life, we can use it for death. When Moses got to that sea, that's when God decided to, right at that second. Okay, let me tell you how in my life God is a last second God. And at first I didn't like it. Okay, I did not like it, but I have grown to accept God for who he is. And sometimes, yes, he is a last minute God. Sometimes, yes, he is a last second God. And what I realize is that when he does show himself at the last second, that's him really showing you his omnipotence, his omnipresence, and his power, his sovereignty. He's really showing you who he is and what he can do and how big of a God that he is. A lot of us like to box God in a box. Okay, a lot of us like to, again, like I said, limit God. We gotta take the limits off of God. Once you take the limits off of God, God can actually, what is this about? Shift. He can actually shift in your life. So again, how can you prepare for the shift? You prepare by getting into God's presence, right? You prepare by completely putting all the distractions away, right? You prepare by not drifting. Now is the time in this atmosphere, in this season and hour, okay? Now is the time for us to draw close to God. And the Bible say, you draw nigh to me, I'm going to draw nigh to you. Which means you draw close, come close to me, and I will come close to you. So if you have, it's just like being in a covenant or you know, like being engaged or something. Let me tell you, when you're engaged, right, you have two people, okay, and they engage, right? So in the time from the engagement to the marriage, they should be coming closer together, okay? Even if they were this close, they should still be meshing closer together. You understand? Because let me tell you something. If they're not meshing close together, let me tell you how there's a huge possibility that between the time of engagement and the time to being married, they probably won't make it to the married part. You understand? And let me tell you how important it is, and all my people in covenant knows this. Let me tell you how important it is that when you are married, my God, this is when you're supposed to do this. Always, always. The Bible already tells us the two become one. They become one flesh. So it don't matter how many kids you have. Let me tell you how the kids do not come first. Your spouse comes first. Okay, look, I ain't trying to make this about covenant, but it's true. And Holy Spirit is leading me into this truth right here to speak to you. When you are in covenant and you become one with that your spouse, your kids does not come first. Your spouse comes first in your life. Okay, well, let's back up. We all know, okay? We all know the obvious that God comes first in your life. Before you even marry, God's supposed to be first in your life and God's supposed to be first in their life so that when you guys come together, God is the foundation, okay? He's that third cord strand in that covenant, right? But when you have kids, I know a lot of people, and a lot of people, some of my family members too, I've seen it in many marriages in my life. A lot of people, and specifically women, actually, I see it a lot with women. A lot of women, and some men too, but a lot of people, actually, when they have kids, all of their attention and love. Now, I'm not saying don't give your kids attention. Of course not. You have to, right? But every passionate being in them, every compassion, everything literally transfers over to the children, and there's none for the spouse. I've seen this with my own two eyes, and this is not how the covenant of God is supposed to be. The children shall come after Christ, after your spouse, then the child. Why? Because you are one with this person. If your spouse and you are not, you know, in good standing with each other and with Christ, how are those children going to be? Tell me. If you're skipping your spouse and you're going over to your children, how is this household supposed to be firm? How is this household, how is the foundation supposed to remain? Okay, we're talking sand now. We're talking sand and rock, sand and rock, sand and rock. If you want to build your house on a rock, your spouse comes first. God comes before, and then your spouse, and then your children if you have. The love and the compassion and the passion that you have with your spouse, that's what's supposed to overflow onto your children, okay? I don't know why Holy Spirit started talking about the covenant just now, but Holy Spirit, I thank you, and this is for someone. So if my voice is on your ears, if you're hearing my voice right now and you are in a covenant, I'm telling you to search out your covenant in fear and trembling, okay? With fear and trembling, go to God, search out your covenant, and ask God to reveal the things that needs to be done properly, needs to be corrected, okay? If you were convicted by this part at all, okay? Go to Christ and let him convict your spirit, and let him show you and reveal to you what needs to be corrected in your covenant. All right. So as we go forward, I know time is going. See, because we live in time, you know, time is going. But however, so we don't want to drift from God, and we want to make sure we're preparing, get into God's presence, take all the distractions off, right? And get into God's presence, put on the full armor. This is how you prepare for the shift. Let me tell you, because the shift, if you're a child of God, the shift is for you. Okay, and that brings me to what God has spoken to me before. Nothing is ever happening to you. A lot of times we're like, oh my gosh, do you know what happened to me the other day? Do you know what happened to me? Nothing is happening to you, but all things are happening for you. Why? Because you are a child of God. What does Romans 8:28 say? It says, for all things, he didn't say some things or maybe a few things. No, he said all. All means all that all means. All things will work together for the good. For the good of those who, he didn't say, my God, speak Holy Spirit. He did not say all things will work together for all people. He didn't say that. And that's the truth of this scripture that a lot of people don't really want to accept, or a lot of people just jump over. He said all things happen for those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. So let me tell you how, if you don't love God, I guess you can say that all things happening to you, I guess you can say that things are just happening to you, okay? But let me tell you, child of God, vessel of God, you chosen vessel of God, let me tell you how if things are happening in your life that's making you uncomfortable or that's putting you in a place where there's discomfort and you have to level up, it's happening for you, okay? You're a child of God, so all things are happening for you. And it's happening for your good. That's the good news too. It's not happening for you and then maybe at the outcome it'll be bad. No, it's happening for your good. All right. So we have to remember that as children of God. We have to remember that as heirs, right? So as we are in the body of Christ, it is our duty to remain in our faith and not shift while God is shifting things. All right. We are to remain, not drift, while God is shifting. Okay, does that make sense? So as God is shifting, we are not to be drifting, right? So as God is shifting, things are happening for you, which means you stay close to God as much as you get closer to God than you ever have ever in your whole entire lifetime as he's doing this shift. There's and the thing about it is when Holy Spirit said there's a shift going on, he didn't say, oh, there's just a shift going on or there's a little shift going. No, what he said was, and he wrote it here, and when I say he wrote it, he did it through me. He wrote it here in capital letters, the word major. Okay, and I'm giving you guys homework right now. After you get off of this episode, I want you to go look up the word major. And I'm going to do it as well. I didn't do this. This is Holy Spirit flowing right now. I didn't look up the word major or know what the root word of it is. But I'm giving all of us homework right now. Holy Spirit is actually. Let's look up the word major and see the root of that word and where it comes from. He had me put that word in capital letters. And my God, for the people that actually do this homework, God bless you. God is going to really reveal himself to you in ways that you've never seen him before, in ways that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. He's going to reveal himself to you, those of you that are actually hearkening unto this word and taking this word and trying to apply it to your life. God is going to bless you in abundance. You hear me? Listen to me. Those of you that actually do this homework, please come back. Whether this is the visual that you're watching on YouTube or whether this is the podcast episode that you're watching on any podcast streaming platforms, come back and share with us what God has revealed to you through the word major. Share with us what you came about through God, through the Holy Spirit, through the leading of the Holy Spirit. What did you come about with the word major? Okay, I will also come back and comment as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is really doing. Look, the shift starts. The shift started already. Okay, it started already. And we're just seeing we're just tasting a little bit of it. You know how when you're cooking good food and then like me, when I'm cooking, I like to like bring a little taste to like my husband or our daughter or whoever's around. Right. I like to give them a taste like. And I just be standing there and anticipating, waiting for them to tell me how it tastes, right? Oh, this is just a taste of the shift that's taking place. Bars! This is just a taste of the shift that's taking place. Yes. Yes. Glory be to God. So, how do we remain in the shift? Again, it coincides with preparing for the shift. How do we remain? By getting into God's presence, staying, okay? Not drifting, but staying, getting closer and staying closer, okay? So how do we re-prepare? By turning off the distractions and getting in God's presence. How do we remain in the shift? By staying in God's presence and remaining away from the distractions. If you want to drift away from those distractions. If you want to drift away from the voice of the enemy. If you want to drift away from the bad habits and the things and the people of this world that's calling your name, drift away from that. If you're going to drift, if we're going to drift, body of Christ, we're going to drift away from the things and the cultures and the people of this world. But we're going to remain in Christ. We're going to remain in his presence. We have to remain in his presence because in order to move accordingly in this shift, My God, we have to be able to hear from God. We have to be able to hear from him. The Bible says, God said, my sheep know my voice. Okay, we have to be able to be in a position and a place and an atmosphere where there's no distractions, where we can hear God clearly in clarity and be able to know what he's saying on how to move accordingly. When Moses was making his movements, he was making his movements by the leading of the voice of God, because he was his sheep. And every time God spoke, Moses knew it was his father, and Moses knew it was time to move accordingly, right? So we have to remain by staying in the presence and drifting away from the people, the actions and the things and the cultures of this world, right? Will I be saved in the shift? Yes, you will. If you are a chosen child and vessel of Christ, listen, God already spoke and said that his children will be saved. His children will be saved. You gotta remain in him. Remain in him. This is how you remain saved in the shift. Again, a lot of people are gonna come to a lot of people in the body of Christ are gonna come to a point where their faith is gonna be on the line, and then it's gonna be either their flesh, either having food to eat or remaining in their faith. I'm coming to tell you today that you will remain and you will be saved in the shift only if you remain in Christ, only if you remain to your faith, only if you remain in what God has told you. Okay, that's how you will be saved. And let me tell you, if you do, you will be saved. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You will. You will. Do not drift from God. Do not drift from his promises. Do not drift from his word. Do not drift from what he has already spoken into and over your life. Okay, when will this shift take place? This shift is taking place right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This shift is taking place right now. So if you weren't prepared before and your ears fell onto this word right now, this is God telling you to prepare now. Prepare now. Prepare now. Now that you're hearing this, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You're hearing the word of the Almighty God. Now is your time to prepare. Okay? Be ready. Be ready. The shift is taking place. We're in the beginning of the shift right now. Okay? Which is why God allowed me to do this episode when it's done. Okay? So when it's released, you're hearing it today. Okay? This is him telling you that the shift has taken place. We're in the beginning of it, but soon things are going to be shifting. Things are going to be shifting. My God, you're going to, oh my God, thank you, Holy Spirit. I feel the power of God right now. Things are going to be shifting in every area of our lives, in every aspect of our lives. Things will begin to shift in ways that you never seen before, in ways that eyes haven't seen, ears have not heard, which means it hasn't been seen before. It hasn't been heard before in the way that this shift is about to happen. Oh my God, hallelujah. He said major. The shift is major. Be prepared. Be prepared. When would this shift take place? It's already taking place. So be prepared. My brother, my sister, be prepared. Okay? Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he also led me to our last scripture, Ezekiel 37, verses 12 through 14. My God, I feel the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, verse 12. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord, my God. My God, my God, my God. So take this that I just read. And I know a lot of people will say, oh, well, it says I will open your graves. Well, I'm not dead. I'm not in a grave. Okay. So every one of you, again, I'm adding on to your homework, okay? I want you to take Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 12 to 14, and I want you to take this. Take these scriptures right here, these three verses. Take these and take it to God and ask God to reveal to you. I was about to speak on it, right? But Holy Spirit just shifted. Hallelujah. You hear it? Holy Spirit just shifted. The shift is already happening. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to take these verses, take it to Christ, and let God reveal to you exactly what He means for you in your life. It might not mean the same for Sarah. It might not mean the same for Abraham. It might not mean the same for Jacob. It might not mean the same for Esther. It might not mean the same for your neighbor. It might not mean the same for your coworker. It might not mean the same for your child. It might not mean the same for your spouse. Hallelujah. It might not mean the same for someone else. This is why the Holy Spirit just shifted and told me to tell you to take this to Him and let Him reveal exactly what it means for you in your current life right now, in this current shifting season. Hallelujah. Glory be to your name, Jehovah. Hallelujah. Take it to God. Take it to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So we're going to end on that scripture right there. Wow. This was amazing. Amazing, 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 amazing. There's a major shift taking place. And it's taking place right now. It's taking place right now. And I come to you today with readiness in my heart and spirit. Read Ephesians. I'm just adding on to the homework, Lord. Read Ephesians. Why? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Why read Ephesians? Because in this shift, although it's happening for you, although it's happening for your good, says the Lord, you will need to put on the complete armor of God. And I know a lot of you are probably like, well, armor? Well, what's the armor of God? Let me tell you how Ephesians would tell you in detail. Okay, we just talked about God sometimes telling you something without the details and sometimes do. Well, let me tell you how God was telling us in detail how to put the armor on and what to put on and how to put it on and how to use them. My God, He even named each armor. Come on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He named each armor. Read the book of Ephesians. I'm telling you right now. For this major, remember that word major. For this major shift, you will need to put the armor of God. And we talked about three different things to do for homework, right? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's reiterate. Look up the word major. Look up the word major. Before you do any of this homework, pray. Pray. Look up the word major. Find out the root of that word. Take that word to God and let Him reveal to you what He's trying to tell you specifically with that word. All right, that's number one. Number two now, the verses that we went over in Ezekiel, okay? Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 12 through 14. Read that word aloud. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's saying to read it aloud. Read it aloud. Remember, you have power on your tongue, and this is life. The Bible is the book of life. Read that aloud. Take it to God and say, Father, You reveal to me, Lord. I'm expecting You. I'm declaring that You reveal to me what this verse means for me in this shift for my life right now. And I can assure you God will. That third piece of the homework. And look at three. The entire Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I cannot make this up. I cannot make this up. God is really moving right now. He's really moving in the body of Christ. He's really moving. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
And he's saying he's coming to divide the wheat from the tares. He's coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's coming to divide the wheat and the tares. He's coming to divide. He's bringing division amongst the people of this world. That's deliberately, intentionally choosing the world and the people of Christ. That's deliberately and intentionally choosing Christ every single day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That third homework, the entire Godhead is saying, go to Ephesians. Read that book out loud. You hear me? Read that book out loud, because the enemy needs to hear you putting on your armor. Right? The enemy needs to hear you and see that you are preparing for what? War. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Ooh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. War. War. My God. My God. The majorness that's happening in this shift is war. War. And it's spiritual. You cannot fight this shift physically. I'm telling you. You cannot fight this war physically. You cannot attend this war. You cannot enter into this war physically. I'm telling you. My God. I'm seeing David. I'm seeing David in the spirit right now. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm seeing David. I'm seeing our forefather David in the spirit right now. Hallelujah. This is not a physical fight. Thank you, Jesus. This is a spiritual fight. Hallelujah. And in order to attend and enter into this war, you have to put on your armor. So when you read Ephesians, you read it out loud. You read it with the power of life on that tongue of yours. And you read it and you let the enemy see and hear that you are ready. And you let the enemy know that this means war. Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory to God. This means war. This means war. This means war. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God, the things that God have spoken on this episode alone is speaking into my spirit. I'm feeling it. It's speaking into my spirit right now. And I'm telling you, you do these three things, I'm going to do it with you. And I want all of us in the body that really does not take God for a joke, and that is going to do these three things, come back and share. We need to share with each other our experience with God. We need to share with each other our revelations, because we are here for each other. We got to build each other up. We have to build each other up as we continue on this walk, as we continue in this race. Remember, we're not in the race to win, because we already won. We're in the race to build character, to build perseverance, to build strength, to build endurance. This is why we're in the race. We already won the race. We already won. So there's no need to run and try to, no. We need to pace this race. And as you're pacing, you're building your character, you're building your strength, you're building your endurance, you're building your faith. My God, thank you, Holy Spirit. Woo! You see what I mean? The last second, he chose at the last second of this episode to really pour his power out. My God, thank you, Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. Wow, this was amazing. This was powerful. And as you prepare for the shift, as you remain and not drift, I just want to pray over you right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this revelation on this episode right now, Lord. And anyone that is on my, anyone, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone's ears that is laid upon my voice right now, no matter what output is through, Father God, I ask that you pour your mighty power that I feel right now, pour that onto their spirit, Lord Jesus. Let them see you for who you are, God. Let them hear you for who you are, Lord Jesus. For you said your sheep will know your voice, Lord. And we are unclogging our ears. We're taking the gunk and the clog out of our ears, Father God. We want to hear you clearly. We want to hear you in clarity in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, I pray over every person that is hearkening themselves unto your word, that is hearkening themselves unto your voice, Lord God. I pray over their life right now, and I speak life over their life. I speak abundance and peace as we go through this shift. I speak abundance and peace and joy and happiness as we maneuver through this shift accordingly and according on one accord, according to your plans and your movements and your purpose in this shift, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for using me as a vessel, God. I thank you for using all of your other people, your chosen vessels, as a vessel, Lord God, so that we may speak your truth. We may speak your revelation so that your people can be saved. Hallelujah. So that your people can be saved in these times. So that your people can be saved in the famine and in the plagues. Your people can be saved in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you, God. I thank you for who you are revealing yourself to be to me and to your other children, Lord God. We stand firm. And we will put on the full armor of you. We will take up every armor that you have crafted just for us. We will take it up and we will put it on and we will keep it on and we will go to war in the spirit with you on our side, with you instructing us and with you telling us how to do, what to do, when to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare and decree, I claim and proclaim this mighty word over your children. In the mighty name of Jesus, it is so, and so shall it be. It is sealed. It is done. It is completed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. There's a major shift happening. There's a major shift going on. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for how you're going to come out of this shift. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I hear you coming out with no smoke, okay? You're coming out with no smoke. Have Meshach and Abednego. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Have Meshach and Abednego. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're coming out with no fire. You're coming out with no smoke. You're coming out smelling like the fruits, okay? No smoke, no smoke in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you believe this word, if you believe this word and declare it over your life, I ask you to comment no smoke and comment major shift in the mighty name of Jesus. I love you guys so much. Bless up yourself. Give thanks for tuning in. And before we close, I want to say that Holy Spirit started a brand new movement, and it's called Moving Monday. Okay, Moving Monday. I know you're probably like, okay, well, what is Moving Monday? I ask that you go to the website. Okay, www.cb17visions.com. Go to the website and go to Moving Monday, and everything you need to know about Moving Monday will be there. And so I'm asking you, if you're just now hearing this, we did our first Moving Monday this past Monday. You can go back and see that. But if you're only now tuning in, I'm telling you, join us on Monday. Join us for Moving Monday every Mondays. And we're going to really build and build and build. And you'll see why God chose Monday. Okay, you'll see why God chose Monday. Hit the link, go to the website, and you'll see. But I love you guys so much. Tune into everything else. Hit that website. You'll see everything there. I love you guys. Bless up yourself. I'm excited to come out with no smoke. Okay, bless up yourself. You're done on the thing already. Cool to be a bidea. Thank you for watching this episode. God love.
We pray that the message in this episode spoke measures into your life. As we always say, beautiful souls, take this word, take it to Christ, test the spirits, and let God reveal to you his hand in your life according to his will and his purpose. We love you, and as always, we are praying for you. Remember to stay prayed up, and we'll see you on the next episode.